Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. After entering a boat, Jesus made the crossing and came into his own town. And there people brought to him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Courage, child, your sins are forgiven." At that, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." Jesus knew what they were thinking and said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said, turning to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your mat, and go home." He rose and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were struck with awe and glorified God who gave such authority to men. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This Independence Day in our country, it's important for us to focus on how we've been set free and for what we've been set free. What is the meaning of our freedom? Because it's we who have a special responsibility not only to live truly free, but to help others discover freedom so that they can walk in the land of the living in God's presence with the full freedom of the children of God. You remember what the epistle was this Sunday, set the whole week. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Christ has set us free precisely so that we could be free. He liberated us from slavery to sin in order that we might be free to love according to the truth. And both of those are key. First, it's slavery to sin that is the short circuit of freedom. But that also to remain free, we must tie it to both truth and love. For the purpose of freedom is to love. When Pope Benedict came to the United States 11 years ago at the White House, he gave a fervorino about freedom. And what he said there is true, and our country needs to hear it. He says, freedom must always be won anew. Can't be something that we just inherit from 243 years ago with the Declaration of Independence. Something that has to constantly be a moral triumph as we grow in freedom by detaching ourselves from everything opposed to God and by using that gift of freedom, a gift that flows from our being made in God's free image and likeness, in order to align ourselves to the truth, to live the truth, and to love in accordance with that truth. Today we see examples of this type of freedom. Abraham was free because of his faith in the Lord. Knew that the Lord would never deceive him, and he knew that he was true. The Lord had already promised that Isaac was going to be the one through whom he would become the father of many nations. So when God asked him to sacrifice his son, the only way he could pull that off was because he was free in the truth, free in the love of God. He knew that should Isaac be slain, God would have to raise him from the dead, because God wasn't a contradictor. God was, is, and always will be truth. So that's what the letter of the Hebrews makes clear to us. Abraham, trusting that God would raise his son from the dead, raised his arm, but God stopped it. Likewise, Isaac, we see true freedom. Isaac's relationship to Abraham was like Abraham's relationship to the Lord. Isaac knew how loved he was by his father. That's why, I mean, we could, when we're reliving that scene, when we're doing a compositio locis about it, we would be saying, listen, if we were 12 or 13 and one of our parents had sort of strapped us down to a sacrifice and was about to raise a knife, we would at least be squirming. Isaac totally trusted in his father. There was real freedom there. He was not enslaved by his fears. It's an extraordinary witness. That freedom flowed from their faith that all God had revealed was true. Jesus tells us that the truth will make us free. And it was faith in that truth that made both Abraham and Isaac free. Likewise, we see incredible freedom and the friends of the paralyzed man in today's gospel. Freedom is this capacity not to be hemmed in by others' expectations, but to be, in a sense, creative. Freedom makes us creative. So they were bringing their paralyzed friend to Jesus on a stretcher. And the people there in the house, probably St. Peter's house, were too selfish to make room for a handicapped person who wanted likewise to see Jesus. They were not bound by that refusal. And with great dexterity, they climbed up on the roof, opened up the roof, and lowered their friend, in St. Mark's version of the account, directly on top of Jesus' head. Right on top of Jesus. So that Jesus couldn't miss their friend. And Jesus didn't. Jesus had come into the world to set us free. So, to show that point, he severed the paralyzed man from the slavery of sin. My child, your sins are forgiven. What an incredible gift. One of the reasons why in our country we are squandering our freedom is because we Catholics, frankly, have lost the practice of the sacrament of penance. We're carrying around months, years, decades of sin. And it impacts the way we behave in our families. It impacts the choices that we make at every stage. And we Catholics used to show that message to the world of how much we all needed God's mercy. We're never going to be free without having our sins absolved. But secondly, we see what Jesus did. He healed him of his paralysis so that he could walk. And the fathers of the church have always interpreted that not only literally, I mean, he was cured of his paralysis, but also spiritually, that he was cured of his paralysis so that he could walk, as we said in the psalm today, in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living, so that he would literally be able to follow Jesus into greater freedom by following Jesus into greater truth and greater love. I wouldn't be a good chaplain to the Sisters of Life if I didn't preach today on Blessed Pia Giorgio Frassati. Pia Giorgio was free, which is the reason why he was so attractive to his peers. He was free because of two experiences, both linking to the truth as well as to love. As a young boy in the presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, he was overwhelmed with the sense that it was true, that Jesus was really present, that he had the privilege to be next to God and eventually to be able to receive him inside. Pier Giorgio in the early 1900s asked for permission to receive Holy Communion every day. This was before St. Pius X had really enforced the decrees of the Council of Trent that said we should be able to receive Holy Communion even daily. But most of the time we're still receiving Holy Communion once or a few times a year, even in convents. So convinced was Pier Giorgio the real presence that he longed to receive Jesus every day, and it led to a profound sense of the sacred in Pier Giorgio's life. he was able to grasp God's fingerprints throughout nature, which is why he loved nature so much. He was able to perceive God's presence in others, which is why he loved them so much, why he was capable of such profound friendship at a precocious age. He was free in this way. The most characteristic aspect of the freedom of Pier Giorgio was the way that he would love. His dad, as probably all of you know, was a very strict aristocrat. He very much cared what other people's opinions were. And so he was a strict taskmaster at home. Pier Giorgio was free, nevertheless. And he was free to love. And the second great experience of Pier Giorgio's life was one day when a beggar rang his doorbell. It was 10 degrees Fahrenheit outside. Pier Giorgio didn't have money to give at that point. He was too young and he wasn't carrying anything. But he looked down and the boy who was begging had no shoes. So he just took off his shoes and gave them to the poor boy. And he became convinced of just how many poor people were around. So he started to seek them out. And they were easy to find. Because of the love that was making him even freer, he joined the St. Vincent de Paul Society and started to go to the sick. He kept this incredibly detailed list of exactly what they needed and when. He was giving people insulin injections every day. He was sacrificing his money for the train to walk home in order, without his father's knowing, to be able to give what he was saving from not taking the train over to the poor. Once, when he had to take the train with some friends because it was too long a distance, and he, though he was from an aristocratic, very well-known family, was riding in third class when everybody expected to be riding first class, and first class wasn't all that expensive. His friend asked, "Why are you riding third class?" And he said, "Because there's no fourth class." He was free enough to be himself despite the pressures that his father was putting on him. He caught polio from serving one of the poor women. It was a particularly virulent form of polio. His grandmother was dying at the time, so he wanted all his family members to care for her. But he knew what was coming, and he was dying within weeks. The night before he died, he told a friend about it because someone would need an insulin injection the following day. He called in his sister and he entrusted her his book, in which he had written down his extensive charity. When he died, much to the surprise of his parents thought that out of courtesy, all the nobles would show up for his funeral and his funeral wouldn't be tiny, even though supposedly he had made his mark on the world. But they were overwhelmed when thousands of poor people came. They had no idea what their son was doing. They had no idea just how free their son was. Today, on this Independence Day, we ponder the source of our freedom as well as its purpose. Christ has set us free. He has said to each of us, "Child, your sins are forgiven." He's called us to walk with him so that we might become more like him, who is the freest who has ever walked. And the way we grow in that freedom to recognize that it's truly Christ here whom we receive, just like Pier Giorgio. And if God the Father doesn't even spare his own son but gives him to us every day, won't he give us everything else besides? Knowing that we walk in God's presence, that he walks in ours, that he accompanies us on the Emmaus journey of life, is what gives us that true freedom. It's what gave the martyrs freedom. When people were threatening to take their lives, they were still able to sing with joy because Christ was with them, making them free. They were able to be the Abraham to their own Isaac, to sacrifice their entire life because they weren't enslaved, they were free. One last thought. Thomas Jefferson, composer of the Declaration of Independence. If you go to his monument in Washington at the March for Life or at another time, you'll see on one side of his monument words from the Declaration. Specifically those words in which we have been endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Life, freedom, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, life and liberty, are so that we can become truly happy, not by our own self-definition, but according to what God Himself gives. But on the flip side, it's a relatively unknown passage from one of his letters in which he said, "The same God who has given us life has given us liberty." If we don't appreciate the God who gives us life, we will never appreciate liberty. That's why the Sisters of Life are so important.